But I like music, man. That's why I like to go to the airport early, you know? They always play great music. They always have unbelievable sound systems. You get there early, you take advantage of that. You just jam to the best music known to man. Occasionally there's an announcement, but other than that, you're just getting into the music, you know? Yesterday, all my... Would the gentleman who left a briefcase at the security area of Concourse C please return to claim your briefcase? And it seems like all unattended vehicles will be towed away at the owner's expense. Oh, I believe there's been a gate change for flight 207. It'll now be departing out of gate 19. Yesterday. I love that song. Takes my mind off traveling.
And the Vandellas, love that, dancing in the streets. Hey, it's 709 WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. I thank you for joining us here today. We have a series we're doing called WRJN Historical Marker. And the reason we're doing this is, I'll tell you a story real quickly. I was at a funeral of a friend who was on the radio for 30 years. And his wife said to me, do you have any air checks? Do you have any recordings of Bill when he was on the radio? And we didn't. 30 years this guy's on the radio, and there's not one recording that exists. So I spoke at the funeral. And while I'm speaking, I'm thinking about, gee, I hope that doesn't happen to me. And I don't really know if there's any, you know, recordings of me laying around. So I decided, let's go back and trace the history of WRJN through the people that are alive. And we even did people that are no longer alive posthumously. And we're going to have it preserved at the Racine Public Library and their archives. And also, I think we're going to also have them done at the Racine, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Museum of Audio they have there. So we're going to have this preserved forever. So 60 years from now, 70 years, are going to say, there was something called radio at one time. There was a station. You know where that new Wendy's is on Victory Avenue? That's where it used to be. Anyway, Chris Morrow was here. And the reason I like having Chris is because you really span a lot of years on WRJN. You started here how old? As a teenager, right?
Yeah, I was my first job at WRJN. I was just 16 years old, a student at Case High School in Racine.
Huh. Now, you were 16 years old. How'd you get a job at 16? I thought that's illegal.
No, it was back in the 70s, Don, where the child labor laws were, no, whole different thing. My first time I ever walked in WRJN, I was probably about 12 years old. I lived down off, just west of where the former Regency Mall is now. And I rode my bike. I watched that tower light from my bedroom window. It's like, what's in there? What's in there? And I rode my bike down one morning at about 7 o'clock in the morning, followed the tower to the radio station and rang the doorbell. And the news guy came out and said, well, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'd like to see the radio station. He let me in and gave me a tour right in the middle of the morning news rush and everything else. So that was my first tour, and I was bitten by the radio bug at about 12. And at the time, there were 4 radio stations in Racine, and there was another one across town, the old WRAC, that would let me hang around and play on the equipment to practice. And one day I was down in the little studio practicing being a disc jockey, and the program director asked me if I wanted to run the equipment on Sunday morning. Their regular guy was gone or had called in sick or something, and he knew I could do it. So he showed me how to run all the public affairs and religious shows on Sunday morning. So here I am, 14, at 2:25 an hour. My mom drove me to the radio station at 6 o'clock Sunday morning to run that equipment, and I did that 2 or 3 times. It was my first paying job in radio, and then kind of moved up the radio chain, as it were, from that to the beautiful music of WFNY 92.1, by RJN, doing that at 15, and then hit the big time, WRJN at 16. It was a thrill because, you know, that the station was just the voice of Racine back then. So I get on and do a weekend show, and everybody and their mom, you know, it was like the biggest thrill of my life to get on WRJN at that time.
So of the 4 radio stations that were in Racine, really working for Racine, not licensed to Racine, but actually being Racine radio stations, only one is left. It's us. All the rest.
It's WRJN. I mean, yeah, you look, the old 1460 is now licensed, I think, to West Allis. 92.1, while it's licensed there, is really not serving Racine.
Some in Reedsburg,
and
I think.
The old WRKR, which was once WRJN-FM, is really serving Milwaukee. So, yeah, WRJN has survived all this time. You know what? Coming up on 100 years in just a few years of really being the voice of everybody in Racine.
Now, we call this Radio Park. I don't know who coined that phrase, but it wasn't me, and it was before I got here in the 90s. It was here already, Radio Park. Now, I went looking on Google Maps to see if there actually are places called Radio Park, and there are. There's one in Canada, there's one in Pennsylvania, and I forget, there's a third one. I forgot where it was, in some small town. The name of the cities are called Radio Park.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we call this area Radio Park, but there actually are cities in America called Radio Park.
And I think, I mean, as long as I can remember, I mean, I grew up in Racine, and, you know, the first radio I ever heard whenever I could remember it, 2 or 3 years old, WRJN did come to you from Radio Park, Racine. The temperature, it's, you know, 71 degrees at Radio Park. It was always named that. And I imagine that probably came, you know, from Radio City, you know, WTMJ and in New York, they had Radio City and Radio Center and Broadcast Center. They needed a name for the location. And heck, I mean, that studio and transmitter take up a full city block. It is like a park. And just a great way to kind of brand that we're the heart of Racine.
And, you know, Radio City is still Radio City in New York City. I mean, they still call it Radio City Music Hall. And so that name stuck. Okay, so what'd you do here at first? What was your first job at WRJN? Mine was cleaning toilet bowls at my first radio station. Yeah, I cleaned the toilets.
No, I didn't have to do that. I'd already cut the grass at WFNY. That was my main job, was mowing the lawn and then doing a weekend radio shift. But at WRJN, at the time, it was still a full service, lots of news, sports, weather, and adult music. So my first job was working Saturday afternoons. I think it was like from, you know, noon to 6 on Saturday, coming in and, you know, handling the news and all the on-air elements. And then Sunday, I worked in the late afternoon into the evening, leading into Ralph Schoenleben and the classical music show. So, yeah, my first job was really working weekends. And then I guess when they trusted me enough, I got to come in during the summer and fill in for, you know, a week or two of Frenchie Bouton's vacation. And probably the scariest thing I ever did was fill in for Jim Sorensen, was the morning guy at the time. And they wanted me to come in and cover his vacation. And here I am, 16 years old, you know, on a radio station that reaches 90% of Racine and Racine County. And my hands were shaking. The weekends didn't scare me. I mean, it's us the weekend who's there. But, you know, people were there. But that morning shift where everybody woke up to WRJN, my hands were shaking the first time I turned that microphone on. And when I knew that these news guys like Don Edmark and Gary Sewer were in the studio right next to me listening to what I had to say. It was like these legends of Racine Radio are hearing me, this 16-year-old kid, about to introduce the news. I just didn't dare screw it up. It was terrifying. And the thing I'll never forget is the first time I opened the mic, when you throw the switch, the mic goes on. But you have to remember to turn the knob up so people hear you. And here I am cutting my teeth on the morning show for WRJN, and the news guys are waiting to be introduced. And I'm sitting in the studio talking to myself for about 10 seconds with WRJN News is next at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for that and weather. Da-da-da-da. And the guy walked in the room and said, you got to turn the knob up so they hear you.
That's good.
My debut on morning radio in Racine.
Well, for people that don't realize, today is the first morning in our brand new studio. This is it.
Yeah.
We just made a debut this morning. So I'm like you this morning. I feel like I'm talking and didn't bring the dial up because it's all new equipment in here this morning. Corey Hartman came in to help me out, just hold my hand and say, it's going to be okay, Don. Don't worry. It's going to be okay.
Just keep talking. Something will come out. It'll be fine.
And so, it is kind of scary. You know, you're in a brand new studio at this point. And you have to sound like, I've been doing this for decades now. This is no problem at all. All right, Chris Morrow is my guest. Chris is WRJN historical marker number 9. Write that down, Chris. You're number 9.
Number nine.
And we're going to be talking about his second go-round at WRJN, what he did in between, and his third go-round at WRJN. Saw a picture of you once here. You had a big head of curly hair. You had a big curly hair on your head.
Yeah,
what happened?
That was hilarious.
I still have my curly hair. People made fun of all my curly hair. They're not making fun of me now. Anyway, Chris Morrow is here this morning. We're going to talk more with Chris in just a moment. 718 WRJN. Hometown Radio Refresh, the civic media station at 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and the historic, legendary 1400 AM. Keep it right here. King and Derek Goffin, and the Shirelles had a big hit with that song. My brother, Chris, my brother played with that group, the Shirelles. He was their band. They played on the East Coast. I mentioned this on the air a few times. He used to be the bands for Benny King, Ruby and the Romantics, the Shirelles, the Chiffons, the Shangri-Las. There were a lot of groups. Whenever they came to the East Coast, they only came, you know, the people, the singers came, but they didn't bring a band with them. So in the New York area, he was always the band they used. And he was a good friend, and I forget her name. She just passed away. She was the blonde, the lead singer of the Shangri-Las, you know, walking in the sand.
Oh, yeah, I just read about that.
Yeah, and my brother,
her name too.
Up until the day she died, he used to talk to her all the time on the phone. They were, you know, lifelong friends because he used to play with the Shangri-Las. So then he became a doctor and gave all that up. Still has his guitar, though. Still brings out his guitar occasionally. And he plays a 12-string, too, which is kind of neat. All right, talking to Chris Morrow here at WRJN Radio at 7:21 on your Wednesday morning. And the reason we're talking to Chris is it's WRJN historical marker number 9, the history of WRJN. We're going to preserve it, and we've got to talk to everybody while they can still talk and they're alive. And I want to get to Chris right now today. And so you're at WRJN. You're scared to death. You get on the air. How long were you here on your first go-round?
I think it was about 2 years working the weekend and fill-in shifts.
and then moved over to WRKR for a couple of years, doing the top 40 hits. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel bad leaving here?
You know, at the time, I was probably 18 at the time. And, you know, when you're 18, you want to be part of that hip and trendy, the hit music is coming out. And WRJN, well, I don't want to say it was stodgy to an 18-year-old kid. It was the news, the weather, the information. And then the music was, you know, it was very middle of the road. I wanted to get out there and, you know, play some Bee Gees and stuff like that. So I went across town to WRKR for several years and moved on through my career after that.
That was your goal in life, to play the Bee Gees. All right, good. Now we got that
settled.
Yeah,
well, I was young and foolish.
I know. But you were on FM radio. But back then, FM was not big. It was getting there, but it wasn't that huge yet.
Well, that's right. In fact, you know, it's funny because WRJN sold that frequency, 100.7, to the competition across town because they were making all their money in the 60s and 70s with the AM station. And to them, FM was just, it's an extra thing that costs an electric bill, so let's unload it. Little did they know it would take off like it did. But, you know, that was an era of transition in radio and how people used radio. But, you know, WRJN certainly didn't suffer because they didn't have an FM station at the time.
So after WRKR, how long were there for playing the Bee Gees?
I was probably there for 2 or 3 years as well. And then ended up spending a little time at the top 40 monster WOKY in Milwaukee. I did late nights there and did that for a little over a year before heading out to a clone of WOKY, which was, again, one of the big AM top 40 stations of the era, of KOIL in Omaha, a big regional signal.
Back up to WOKY, worked overnights, but you were the lead-in show for Bob Barry.
For Bob Barry, absolutely. And that's another one. You know, when I talk about being nervous on the air, that station, it was in an old radio building on Sherman Boulevard in Milwaukee. And the studios were on the third floor overlooking the alley between Sherman Boulevard and whatever the street was behind it. And I worked midnight to 5:30 in the morning. And it was the kind of station that had a little reverb to it. You know, you could hear a little echo when the voice was on. It made it sound bigger for some reason. And that's another one where I turned the mic on for the first time, and I heard my voice echoing in my headphones. I just froze. It was, what's going on? I hear myself echoing like you're talking in a stadium. So my very first break on that station, you know, covering half the state of Wisconsin, was frozen. But the closer it got to Bob Barry coming in at 5:30 that first morning, the more my hands were sweating. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, I hope I didn't sound stupid to him. I don't know what to say to Bob when he walks in the door. And it was really cool. He walked in the door about 4:45, said, hey, heard you on the radio. Good to meet you. How you doing with this, Bob? And he asked a little history. He sat there, you know, before he got ready for his show and just as calmly and personably put me at ease where every morning I look forward to him coming in. And, you know, you look forward to making the pot of coffee for him and having everything ready. But a true gentleman. And to this day, every time I see him, I remind him of that story. And he says he remembers, but it'd be pretty tough after all those years. But
I think, you know, radio people tend to remember everybody they ever worked with. I do.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, that's true.
I had him on the air with me recently. And I think he remembers. I mean, he's not, you know, 100 years old. I think he remembers. So that's
true. He was a true gentleman. And that was the, you know, the first time I'd really met somebody who in Milwaukee was really a radio star.
Now,
and to sit down with him and just talk to him, like, he made me feel like a peer. And here I was at the time, a 20, 21-year-old kid. And he was just great.
You know, there's an old thing in radio. When I first got into radio in the 70s, they said, you better have a good U-Haul because you're going to move all over America. Now you don't have to do that, but you did back then, and you had to leave home for the first time, and you were moving out west to Nebraska.
Yeah.
Wow. And what a move.
And it was, you know, and in those days, it was, you know, you followed the big call letters. I was working overnights on WOKY. This was a move up to work 7 to midnight, or I think 6 to 10 at night on KOIL in Omaha. And, you know, to me, that was a step up. The pay went up to almost, I think, $1,000 a month. So it was amazing. And the station had a great reputation. And I got to work for Jimmy O'Neill. Jimmy O'Neill was the program director. And he's the same guy who was the host of the old Shindig TV show.
Jimmy O'Neill on Shindig.
And his biggest claim to fame was they did a Flintstone episode with him where he was Jimmy O'Neill Stone. And so,
that's good.
But he was the guy who really, I think, helped develop, you know, how I sounded, how I approached, you know, on-air work. He was an amazing teacher, but just one of those great guys who kind of takes you under your wing and you always remember and thank them for what they did.
Now, where'd you go after Nebraska, or did you stay in Nebraska for a while?
I was in Nebraska for several years and then headed out to the Washington, D.C. area. I said I wasn't going to tell this story, but I'll tell this story. One of the weirdest things in radio are some of the
I know what story you're going to tell. Hold on for that, because we got to take a break here, and I don't want to miss the story.
Sure.
You're going to tell the story I think you're going to tell?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, great. I hope you don't rethink about it.
I won't use names.
This is a good story. Stay in there. All right, we're talking to Chris Morrow. This is WRJN Historical Marker number 9. We're talking to all the people that worked here over the years to preserve the history of WRJN, which turns 100 in 2026. Will be 100 years old. I know the Historical Society wants to do a whole display about the history of WRJN. And thanks to people like Tom Carco, we actually have the history. Somebody gave me a pencil the other day with the old WRJN from like 50 years ago. And so we have that as well. I'll put that in the museum. 729 WRJN. I'm Don Rosen. You're at Hometown Radio Refresh WRJN, which is at 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and the legendary AM radio frequency of 1400.
People go, you're on TV or movies. Is it easy to act? Yes. I mean, yes. It's not hard. I mean, obviously people can do it. It's not like other things. This might be the easiest because you always hear about people doing it and doing well. I mean, the Oscars, this is the hardest thing you can do in acting. The best of the best award of all actors, right? Gabrielle Sibide, winner she was in Precious. Never done a movie. Up for an Oscar. Last year, Beast of the Southern Wild, 5-year-old girl, first movie, up for an Oscar. Jennifer Hudson, American Idol, gets 8th place on American Idol. She can't win in the field she has trained her whole life for, singing. Waltzes over to acting, wins an Oscar, her first try. It's like me, hey, I want to play the NBA. Oh, you can't do that. That doesn't look that hard. I'm the MVP the first year. You're better than LeBron, I guess. They just put in the hoop. It didn't seem hard, yeah. Yeah.
the Adlibs, the boy from New York City. We're talking to the boy from Racine, Wisconsin, Chris Morrow, here on WRJN, historical marker number 9. We're talking about the career of Chris Morrow, who's been with WRJN since he's 16 years old. I don't think anybody has been here that long. I think you, 16. That's like...
Yeah.
You're still in high school. That's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to tell the story. You said you wouldn't do it. I love this story. It's one of the few things that makes me laugh when I think about it. I mean, I could be in the serious, most serious situation. I think about this story and I break out laughing because in all my years, 52 years in radio, I've never heard a story like this before. And
well, it was shocking at the same time. Now it's still sad, but ridiculous. But we always wanted to move up, right? We wanted to move up to the next biggest market with a bigger audience. And obviously, we had these egos that had to be fed. So I was recruited actively by this guy I'd never heard of before when I was still at KOIL. And he had sent me a tape of his station that was out on the East Coast, and it was just a super hot, rocking, flame-throwing, sounded great with all the production values and great music. It just was an amazing-sounding radio station. And this guy called me on my request line one night, and he told me who he was and where he worked and would you be interested in coming out to work here. So we talked about it back and forth. I said, I don't know, I'm a Midwest guy. But he goes, no, we're right between Baltimore and Washington. Everybody will hear you. It's a sounding station. We have all this great stuff. If you can get here in the next week, you have the job. You can do afternoons and, you know, right between two major cities. So I'm stupid. I go and get the U-Haul, like you said before, sell most of my stuff to other guys at the station, and race out to this town between Washington and Baltimore. It was Frederick, Maryland, and a little bedroom community, quaint little place. So I pull my U-Haul into the station, which is kind of in the foothills of the Catoctin Mountains, in this shabby little brick. It was a horrible old little building where the roof was sagging and the parking lot was gravel. And I'm coming from KOIL in Omaha, which was at the time one of the state-of-the-art facilities in the nation. I mean, it's still talked about as an amazing place. And I'm going into a place where you could literally see water dripping into the studio. They had buckets when it rained. If you were touching the equipment and your lip would touch the microphone and your hand was on the control board, you would get a shock. It was a horrible, horrible dump. And this guy who hired me turned out to be this little weasel of a man who he looked like Grizzly Adams. And he wore this ratty cowboy hat, and he had this really bad beard, always chomping on a cigar. He said, come on in, let's get to work. You got here just in time to get on the – I mean, I had just driven across country, and I pulled into the station at, you know, noon that morning, and he's ready to get me on the air at 2 o'clock. So the red flags are flying. This is – what did I get myself into? This is horrible. I got on the air, and it was a disaster because the equipment was junk. But, you know, over the next several weeks, you get into the groove, and I'm starting to get into it, found a place to live, and it was working, you know, a dump, but it sounded good. And, you know, people were hearing me. I was going to move up. That was for sure. Yeah, right. So one Saturday morning, I'm in my apartment, one of my rare days off, and there's a knock on the door. And I go to the door, and there's the program director of the radio station standing there. And I'm thinking, this isn't Halloween, but he's wearing like a sheet, like a ghost would wear for Halloween or trick or treating. And he's there with two or three other guys, all dressed up like ghosts. And I had no idea what the heck you're here for. And he's like, and he's a good old boy. I mean, he's a good old boy. He goes, well, morning, didn't know if we're going to wake you up or not, but thought since you're getting settled in here, we invite you down to the Fireman's Park this weekend for the rally. What are we doing, a bike thing, or what's going on? And then it slowly dawned on me, they were wearing Klan robes, not the pointy hat things, but these guys were part of the local Klan chapter, inviting me to come down to their picnic on Saturday afternoon at the neighborhood park. And it terrified me. I had read about these things in the Midwest. You know they exist, but, you know, until you get to a certain place, you don't believe they're real. But this was now my boss inviting me to a rally
in a public park, which they held, I guess, routinely. And I was I stammered. I was no, and I've got plans for my day off. I'm getting out of here. Thanks a lot. And from that point forward, he was not friendly to me at work like he never had been before. But it took me about 2 weeks to rent that U-Haul and without a job, pack up what remained of my belongings and bail out of that place. It was just terrifying. And I know he left, you know, he stayed there a couple more years. But, you know, it wasn't illegal. It was just disgusting. And I actually walked away from it, drove back home to Racine after that experience.
Always come home.
It wouldn't go back.
Auntie M, I'm home.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, for a radio guy to be unemployed without prospects, you know, for the future was terrifying. I probably took, you know, everything I had and sold it for gas money to get home. And thank you, Mom and Dad, for letting me stay there for a month.
Auntie M.
It cleared my head. But, you know, you don't, the characters, I mean, that's what it is.
When I first went to Atlanta, I worked at a radio station down there. And I came on July 3rd. And the next day, I'm watching on TV, and they're showing this Klan rally at this Stone Mountain Park. They're burning a cross on the 4th of July. And I said, thank goodness we don't live anywhere near there. It was 20 minutes from my house.
Yeah, right.
They're burning a cross. So,
but that's just one more thing to be grateful for. Growing up in Racine in the Midwest, we didn't have to see that crap, you know, until you go out in the world.
You know, and then I take a ride on Roswell Road. I lived on Roswell Road. I go up to Cumming, Georgia. There's a billboard. The Klan welcomes you to Cumming. Where did we? Oh, how did I enter hell? Where is this place? When did I come to work? All right. So you leave there. The Klan is chasing you out of town. And you, where do you go? You come back to Racine.
Came back to Racine. And yeah. And that's where, you know, I was able to connect with Jack Lee. Remember, Jack Lee was...
Yes, I remember Jack, yeah.
...icon in Milwaukee radio. And he had just signed on a new station in Milwaukee, WMYX 99.1. It was the first mix station in the country. And I was able to become part of the first air staff on WMYX, stayed there for about 7 years, doing the afternoon show with a bunch of great people. We're still lifelong friends, and... It was a great experience working with Jack again, and stayed in Milwaukee, you know, for the next many, many years, you know, moving from the on-air side and getting into programming back again at WOKY as a program director for several years. I can't remember where I went from there.
Somebody asked me how many stations I worked at. I had to look at my phone, at my resume. Because in radio, you can work at, you know, 30 of them, and you forget.
Right.
I worked for a station in Myrtle Beach. I forgot the call letters. I don't know what they were. I don't know.
It's the old Harry Chapin song, W-O-L-D.
Oh, please.
You know, it's a real song and a real experience. But, yeah, while I worked at MYX, I got to work weekends for a while at WMAQ in Chicago, which was the big country station then, covered 38 states. That was a blast. And then moved into programming and sales and sales management from there.
Wow. Okay, so now you're a manager. You still do air work, and it's a shame not to use you on the air because you do great work. So you're on the air. You come back to WRJN as the big guy, the chief, the head, the general vice president, general manager. That must have been something.
It was so cool. I had been up in Green Bay as a director of sales for the Cumulus Market in Green Bay, some legendary stations there. And Bliss Communications owned WRJN. They had an opening for a general manager. And I saw that and started talking to Bliss and Skip and Michael Bryan, who was the VP that kind of oversaw things. And we just all hit it off right away. And for me, knowing it was really my first real radio job and my ties to Racine and just the station in particular, it was just a thrill to come back, you know, all those years earlier being a 16-year-old part-time disc jockey, to coming back and actually getting to you know, lead the whole station. And it was just a incredible full circle moment to come back and get to work with. Well, that's where you and I first worked together.
That's right. Yeah.
And Tom Carco and Jan and so many people that were there for so long.
You there?
And serving the community. Yeah. It was just a blast for me to come back and do that.
Now, we had a new owner come in, and I guess you were welcome to work with the new owner, but you chose not to, and you left.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen with new owners, and they all come in with the best of intentions. But, you know, you want to be philosophically aligned with what's going on. And I just didn't feel comfortable that things were going to be the same, and they weren't, and they changed. And I was able to take off and ended up working again with Cumulus, where I had been in Green Bay. I was back in the Appleton-Oshkosh area and continued with them for the next 7 or 8 years. So, for me, that was, you know, kind of going home again, too, to manage the stations up in Green Bay. But, you know, always lived down here in southeast Wisconsin, had a small apartment in Green Bay, and my ties were still here. And then to come back with Civic Media, you know, in an entirely different role, kind of a statewide role.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. But you came back and you worked for another company in Milwaukee. You were schlepping back and forth to Green Bay. But you came back to work in Milwaukee again. And that was a short time. And in just a moment here, we're going to talk about the prodigal son returning again to not only WRJN, but the whole Megillah, the whole shooting works at Civic Media.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment with Chris Morrow. He's WRJN historical marker number 9. The history of WRJN preserved, you know, as long as the world is here, I guess. When the world blows up, I guess nobody will care. But while it's still here, it's 749 WRJN Radio. Thanks for joining us here. We are 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and of course, the one AM everybody remembers, 1400 AM, live from Radio Park this morning. Stay right where you are. We're going to talk about with Chris about his new role in this company in just a moment here. Good morning, I'm Don Rosen, 751 at WRJN Radio. My brother's band, when they back in the 60s, wanted to play this song. They didn't know what the lyrics were. He sent away to the record company, and they actually sent him a mimeograph sheet. There's a word for you, a mimeograph sheet of all the lyrics so they can sing the song, because he listened to the record over and over again, and he couldn't make out the lyrics of the Kingsmen and Louie Louie. And we have Chris Morrow with us here. We're talking about the history of WRJN, and no one's a bigger member of the history of WRJN and Chris Morrow. Started here at 16, left to go on to better things, and left again to go on to bigger and better things, and then, like a bad penny,
yeah, exactly.
Came back again. Now, this time, you didn't just come back to WRJN. You came back to our new owners, Civic Media, and we just happened to be part of the cog in this whole thing.
Yeah, and Civic Media, you know, kind of a fresh idea to doing radio in Wisconsin. 19, almost 12, soon to be 20 radio stations across the state, with the mission of bringing local radio back home to communities. Over the years, corporate radio, these big companies have kind of diluted what you hear on the radio. You can go to Milwaukee, Chicago, St. Louis, Kansas City, hear the same thing over and over and over. Civic Media's goal is to make our local stations part of the community again and get involved at every level. And it's a big job, but it's a great vision. So when that opportunity came up for me to join Civic Media and contribute again to WRJN and bringing it back home to the Racine community, I jumped at that. And it's just a thrill to be back and have some influence over what's happening, not only with Civic Media, but in particular with WRJN, because we've got some interesting things planned for the very near future that we think is really going to revitalize the radio station, the community, and really respond to what people are asking for in Racine.
Now, you're not only the station manager for WRJN and WAUK in Waukesha, you're also director of sales for the whole shooting works. And what is it, like 300 stations? No, 20, 19? Something like that.
20. Yeah, oh, it's 19, soon to be 20 radio stations across the state, from Hayward and Park Falls all the way down to Racine, over to Madison, Richland Centers. So, yeah, I get the opportunity to work with a lot of different communities and a lot of different people in the marketing arena. To help all these communities. But for me, it's you know, probably the biggest final step in my career to get to lead a great group of people committed to local radio and local businesses.
And, you know, I give you all the credit in the world. You built a radio station in your house. You know, I had a basement radio station at one time. I bought, when I was a kid, I went to Lafayette Electronics on Long Island, and I bought a automatic reversing reel-to-reel tape recorder in the late 60s, early 70s. And I had a little transmitter I bought from Lafayette where I can broadcast, you know, on my block with the transmitter. Yeah. And I hooked it up, and I recorded 8 hours worth of programming on this reel-to-reel. And it played 24 hours a day because it was automatic reversing. And I had my first radio station. And it was kind of goofy looking the way you see it today. But you actually have... Yours is like going back to the 1960s and 70s in your house, because you have a full working radio station, because you do weekend programming at stations all across America.
Yeah, over the years, I collected old vintage equipment, and, you know, people were tossing it out and upgrading to new stuff, and I'd pick it up and bring it home, and I stored it in my basement and garage for years. And several years ago, I started plugging it in to see if it worked, and a lot of it did. So I hooked it up and really recreated what would probably be, yeah, like you said, late 60s, mid-70s analog radio studio with all the reel-to-reels, the cartridge tape machines, turntables, the rotary control boards and all that stuff, and made it work. I'm not an engineer, so it was, a lot of it was luck, and if it didn't smoke, I figured it was okay when I plugged it in. Was able to pick up jobs across the country. So now, yeah, I still do... weekend and evening shows, mostly on classic rock and classic hit stations across the country in 12 different cities on the weekend. So I do that from my basement and pre-record it usually Friday night, Saturday morning. But it's still fun to get down there and sit in the old-fashioned, you know, vintage studio playing those songs from the 70s. It's pretty cool.
You know, I didn't ask you specifically, but when was the first, how old were you when you first got the bug about radio? Because a lot of people in radio have been there all their lives, could remember the first moment that they had the bug. What about you?
You know, and this, not to sound dramatic, but when I was a kid, my bedroom and the second floor of our house, just off of Highway 11, between Racine and Sturtevant, I could see the radio towers from three of the Racine radio stations. And at night, the lights would blink. And I was probably 8 or 9 years old when I could see that. And I would, just like so many kids, had the transistor radio under the pillow at night, listening to different stations from far away and near and, you know, all that stuff. And my imagination could picture the Beatles all set up in the radio studio under that blinking light and wondering what they were doing next, because I would hear the Beatles on WRJN at 7:30 at night, then I'd hear them over on WLS at 7:40. How did they get there so quick? I didn't realize it was records at that age. So I was fascinated by the presentation of radio, and my imagination of what was going on under those blinking lights was cool. And that finally led to the day I rode my bike over to WRJN at 11 or 12 years old to see it firsthand. And from that moment, you know, when I saw how the magic was made and how small it really was, you know, it wasn't a whole studio set up like, you know, like a big band playing on the air. It was just fascinating to me. And to this day, it's still magic how it goes from that little room in a radio station into your car or your home or your stereo, and we can convey so much emotion through sound, and whether it's music or news or talk or information, it's such an intimate medium. And to me, the reach of it, and again, the word is magic, the magic of broadcasting to hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of people never gets old. I think it's amazing.
You know, and here's another part of it, too. Somebody asked me the other day, what do you think the most amazing invention is? And I said, it's the transistor radio, because I works. I don't know how a transistor radio works. I have no idea. All I know is I have this little that talks to me, and it's got no wires attached to it.
Right.
So
right.
I don't understand it. Chris Morrow, thank you very much. Hold on the line. Don't hang up yet. Also, the very first interview done from our brand new studio today. What a... to the engineers, and they did a wonderful job. I'm Don Rose, and I'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., right here, WRJN, Hometown
You're
Radio.
Listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN, Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden in Racine, Wisconsin. Crudy's there. He's going to bring you all the coverage on the Devil's Advocates. Tune in, 3 to 6, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Fountain Hills Apartments in Racine has an incredibly rare opening for a one-bedroom apartment. If you or someone you know would like to live at Fountain Hills, named number one for senior living in Mount Pleasant by senioradvisor.com, now is your chance. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety, with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. To grab this rare one-bedroom apartment, see fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An Israeli official reports no sign of a breakthrough in today's